The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Hey!
Hey.
What's the matter? You look anxious and depressed.
I am anxious and depressed. I've had a terrible week. Anything that could go wrong did go wrong.
I know just what you need. I was feeling the same way myself last week. I have just the thing. Peace, love, and happiness.
Wow. Pretty. A peace sign, a heart, and a smiley face soap.
They work wonders. Why, look at the week Barack Obama just had. I sent him some peace, love, and happiness on Friday, and I'm not saying it had anything to do with it, but look how great his weekend went.
Ah, just looking at them makes me feel better. Thanks, Bubble Genius.
Did you know next week is National Anxiety and Depression Awareness Week? Make yourself happy with peace, love, and happiness.
BubbleGenius.com. Representation of communication with Barack Obama is not intended to be a factual statement.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
And I feel that if we in public television can only make it clear that feelings are mentionable and manageable, we will have done a great service for mental health. Could I tell you the words of one of the songs which I feel is very important?
Yes.
What do you do with the mad that you feel when you feel so mad you could bite? When the whole wide world seems oh so wrong and nothing you do seems very right? What do you do? Do you punch a bag? Do you pound some clay or some dough? Do you round up friends for a game of tag or see how fast you go? It's great to be able to stop when you've planned a thing that's wrong and be able to do something else instead and think this song. I can stop when I want to, can stop when I wish, can stop, stop, stop anytime. And what a good feeling to feel like this and know that the feeling is really mine. Know that there's something deep inside that helps us become what we can. For a girl can be someday a lady, and a boy can be someday a man.
I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. Looks like you just earned the $20 million.
Coming or going, you can be radio.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
It is May the 1st, 2014, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob. And that's Chez.
Was that Fred Rogers, by the way? I assume it was.
Yeah, it was Fred Rogers. It's the
reinforcing it's trans omission there. You're reinforcing late. The cisgender the patriarchy, heteronormative patriarchy, because you said a boy can become a man and girl can become a woman. What if a boy doesn't want to become a man?
There you go. It's the 45th anniversary of that that address in the Senate committee there. Fred Rogers going for PBS's funding of $20 million, and Nixon was cutting the funding, and then Fred Rogers showed up and delivered that speech and got the $20 million from Congress. It was great. I thought I'd wheel out that speech. Really good, really moving. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, we have...
The Daily Banta.
I love that.
It's that guy Chez from...
The Daily Banta.
Every time now I see the URL for the Daily Banter, this is what I hear in my head.
The Daily Banter.
Awesome. Please talk to you. I bet there's no new Bidondi this week, is there?
No. You can't do it every week. Besides, you find a gold mine like this, you want to stretch it out for as long as possible before people get utterly sick of it. What was I saying? Oh, we're brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best bath and body products you could ever, 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 ever want. Go to BubbleGenius.com and get all of your soaps and lotions and various humorous things related to soap. That was maybe the worst Bubble Genius commercial I've ever done. Thank you very much. We're also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. Charles is easily the best attorney I've ever, ever dealt with. He's fast, he's smart, and he knows how to communicate with his clients. That means you. The Bowen Group covers commercial, banking, manufacturing, employment, personal injury, and medical malpractice law. Large firm experience, small firm attention, elite firm ability. TheBowenLawGroup.com. Click the link on the podcast page. Also, we're brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon.com, enter it using our link. It's right below the logo at BobSeska.com. You go shopping, you save money, we get a small commission. Thank you in advance. And, one last sponsorship brought to you by Ted Star Twilight. It's Chez's memoir. And, of course, you know Chez. Chez is from
The Daily Banta.
Dear God. The Dan Bedondi soundboard.
Yeah. Oh, God, I love it.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
God, every time I've been hearing that in my head for the last week, it's making me laugh.
Netanyahu. Yeah. My God, what a buffoon.
And, of course, we all know
Benjamin Netanyahu is not a Jew.
Not a Jew.
Okay, well, we've got a big show this week. I guess, you know, the Daily Banter thing is making me think, is it me or is the Daily Banter just killing it this week?
We've had a good week.
Yeah.
Ma'am.
Couple of really big exclusives. I mean, actual, honest-to-God exclusives. You know, that word gets bandied around a lot and used improperly quite a bit. But these were actually a couple of real exclusives. You had one. Tommy Christopher had one. And then there's Oliver Willis with his funniest post ever. I think it's Oliver's funniest.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It really is. And if I remember correctly, though, I mean, I like how people in the comment section are pointing out stuff that he left out. And I think one of them was, like, right off the bat, I noticed, I don't think he calls him Barack Hussein Obama.
Yeah, not once.
At any point, no.
Yeah, but that just goes to show there are just so many things.
Right, there are so many, yeah, this you know, and God, with Benghazi back again, the never-ending nonsense over Benghazi.
Yeah, yeah, and everything distracting from Benghazi. I mean,
yep. Everything.
Throughout the entire...
Even Alan West, that psychopath... Was what the hell was he talking about? That was something was a distraction from Benghazi. What was it this week? I can't remember.
Don Sterling?
Donald Sterling. Donald Sterling was a distraction from Benghazi. I have to know if his entire life is like his wife asking, do you want Chinese or barbecue for dinner? That's a distraction from Benghazi.
Yeah, why aren't you asking me about Benghazi? The Oliver Willis piece is called The Story of Barack Obama as Told by Conservatives. It's really great. I mean, it's apropos of nothing. I mean, there wasn't any specific event that prompted Oliver Willis to write this thing, but damn is it good. It's basically the history of the Obama presidency, going back to the campaign, actually, as told by conservatives. And just about every myth is in there, but yeah, he's missing the Hussein one. And he does include Benghazi in there.
Right, of course.
Which is good. So we do have lots to talk about this week. I wanted to, I guess we should get to the Clayton Lockett thing right off the bat and get it out of the way. Because it's not very pleasant. It's not really a very, very unpleasant story.
I am so 100% with you on this, though. I keep thinking, coincidentally, since this is the subject, I keep thinking, like, it's just not the hill I want to die on.
Yeah.
I don't care enough. Yes, I don't think that, you know, I don't think that we, that we need to be executing people wrongly and, you know, and screwing it up and basically torturing them. But I just can't work up any sympathy for him. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that I'm a fan of the death penalty. I'm just saying, dear God, it's just it's a really tough thing to argue about.
You know, I found myself thinking about the NSA story, strangely enough, which is that, you know, there's a right way to do this crap and then there's a wrong way to do this crap. And if we're going to do it, let's do it the right way. You know, right. And that's how I feel about the death penalty. If we're going to be executing people, there's no reason in hell we ought to be putting together these chemical compounds, these cocktails that require 20 minutes for for the person being executed to finally kick off. You know, that's torture. The way Clayton Lockett was killed was torture. I don't know if it was an equal amount of torture to what his victim endured, being buried alive. This guy, Clayton Lockett, is not a sympathetic character, and anyone feeling sympathy for his plight and the way he died probably needs to think a little bit about what he did to get there.
Exactly. I'm sorry. I just, again, just don't care that much.
Yeah. I mean, he...
I've said this so many times. I have a limited... It's a monkey sphere thing.
Yeah.
You know, I have a limited reservoir of concern
right.
that I can dish out. Before you lose, everyone has it. The limited reservoir of concern that you have before you lose the ability to function, before every little injustice just makes your brain explode or turns you into an insufferable douche.
Yeah.
And I can't expend any of it on this guy.
Yeah, it's really, really hard. I mean, if you look at the story is, and every layer of the story is more tragic than the one preceding it. And, you know, I mean, at one point he beat up a 9-month-old baby. I mean, this is all part of the same crime spree where he and two other guys were robbing a house. This woman, Stephanie Neiman, who was 19 years old at the time, and a couple of her friends interrupted them as they were robbing someone's house. And so the guy, so Clayton Lockett tried to steal Neiman's car keys to make a getaway in her car. So he tried to steal a car in the process of robbing a house, and then ended up beating up Neiman, beating up the friend, beating up this other resident of the house and that resident's 9-month-old baby. Then they tie up Neiman and her friends with duct tape, drive them out in the middle of nowhere, dig a grave, put Neiman, this 19-year-old girl, in the grave, shoot her with a sawed-off shotgun. She's not dead yet, right? So they try again, but the gun jams. I mean, you can only imagine the terror
of this. I can't feel bad for this guy.
Then the third shot actually hits its mark, shoots Stephanie Neiman again. She's still not dead. She's pleading to be let go. And they start to bury her alive. They bury her alive, and that's how she dies. It's unbelievable. No. So then they fast forward.
And so this guy was tortured for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
I kind of don't care.
It was 24 minutes the actual execution, and he was convulsing and writhing, and clearly it's not working. And at one point, he actually says the word "man," and then they stop. They abort the execution, and then he dies of a heart attack about half an hour later.
So it worked.
So,
I'm being a dick, but yeah. Exactly. You know, I mean, I watched Rachel Maddow losing her mind over this. And I'm just kind of like, no.
Because,
you know?
That's the debate I was going through before I was writing this, before I sat down to write this thing that I wrote in the Daily Banter this week, which is that, you know, I know the doctrinaire liberal thing to say at this point, which is to rend garments and to instantly condemn unequivocally the use of the death penalty in the United States. And I couldn't do that because I'm reading this story and I'm going, you know, I'm getting deep into how I feel about this, and I'm going, am I satisfied this guy is not sucking air anymore? Yes, I damn well am. I'm glad that he's not walking around.
Yeah, I know. We're supposed to be better than that, and I get it, by the way. I do. I understand that rationale, and I also understand that my issue with the death penalty is, I hope, a good one, which is that I have a problem with the inequity of it and the fact that, yes, there are innocent people who wind up being killed.
Right.
You know, the inequity of the representation a lot of the times, and that being, you know, the amount of money that you make, what you're worth in this world, and having that be the deciding factor whether you live or die, basically, that to me is a real problem.
Yeah.
You know, but for, you know, and yeah, maybe that's an argument to abolish the death penalty altogether, because that's just always going to be a fact of life.
Well, yeah, I mean, the conclusion I reached was, until we can get it right, until we know what the F we're doing, you got to stop doing it. And the person they were going to execute right after Lockett, they actually stayed his execution. Because he was sentenced to die the same way. The same cocktail of drugs through a lethal injection. Which, by the way, the Department of Corrections knew this was going to happen. They knew it because it happened in Ohio several months ago. Using a very similar technique. I mean, a couple of days before, this guy, Jerry Massey, who's a corrections spokesman, said, don't be surprised if it takes longer than 20 minutes. And sure as hell, it did. So that, you got to take that into consideration here. They knew, it was premeditated, that they knew that this was going to be a cruel, and I'll just use the words from the Constitution, a cruel and unusual death. Should never have happened this way. And so those who are making a case for the death penalty, what this did is it completely undermined that case, first and foremost, made the Department of Corrections in, where it's Oklahoma, look like sadists. And just,
yeah.
All in all, just a horrible, horrible scene. So if nothing else, this should start a debate. I hope it does. Where we say, all right, what are we going to do about this? Are we going to make this better, faster, more rare? I think that ought to be a case, too. Because certainly there are, I mean, the statistic has been flying around all week. 4.1% of all death sentences are of innocent people. 1 in 25 Americans are sentenced to die are innocent. That's something else we got to fix. If we're going to take this extreme punitive action against the worst of the worst in our society, let's make sure we get it right. I mean, is that too much? Is that so wrong to say, all right, we're gonna have state-sponsored executions. You think maybe we ought to fix the problems with it?
Yeah, I agree.
Boy, what a terrible story. What a terrible story from top to bottom. You know, it's hard to sit down and write about something like this. I mean, writing what I wrote this week took something out of me. And I don't know what exactly, but yeah, it was not easy. So lots of other stuff to talk about this week. We've got some Rush Limbaugh audio where he's talking
wonderful.
Yeah, talking about Don Sterling and blaming Don Sterling on Obama, of course.
Of course he is, because everything is Obama.
And naturally, once again, our Rush Limbaugh audio sounds like Rush is taking a big, giant dump. As he's on the radio. Plus, we've got this Bundy Ranch crank talking about Civil War and ripping off Harry Reid's balls. We're going to play that audio a little later. Plus, we're going to talk about Shepard Smith versus Gawker. That was a huge story this week, especially something you covered. I had an exclusive about it. Yes. Sarah Palin unhinged and a whole lot more. We got a break. More show right after this.
Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Okay. Wow, the crazy is thick this week. By the way, I think this is all Dave Grohl playing this cover of Baker Street.
It's a great cover.
Yeah. I think this is on his original, like, Foo Fighters demo.
I think this is where it came from.
Love it, love it, love it. I love the original version of the song.
Yes, me too.
Almost as good as Foo Fighters cover. Boy, one crazy story after another this week, and maybe that's why the Daily Banter has been so packed with good stuff, because the material has just been really good. Really good opportunity for
the Daily Banter.
I can't help it. It's
not going to get old.
I see our logo, and I just go,
the Daily Banter.
And Benjamin Netanyahu.
Benjamin, yeah.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Chaz and I were texting back and forth. I just like fire off this Netanyahu.
Exactly. It does sound like the correct answer to that is, Gesundheit. Somebody says Netanyahu. Yeah, that's the right answer. Bless you.
Gesundheit. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Ah, Gesundheit.
And you know, just really quick on Badandi, for some, I can't believe I've actually been thinking about this, but it really did kind of bug me
that
as a as somebody, you know, as somebody who's been a journalist, mm-hmm. and hearing him go through that whole stupid spiel about, you know, you're mistreating me, you know, well, I'm a journalist too, that whole thing, I want to be treated like a journalist too, basically. It's like, no, you don't understand. If you screw up someone's name like that, because I for some reason I have it in my head, like I could hear him saying, you know, oh, you're going to make fun of me because I screwed up somebody's name. You know, that's low, that, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, no, that is literally the first thing for you to get right.
Yeah.
Is the guy's name.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a matter of of just sort of like saying it accidentally and reading it, you know, reading it off the top of your head and maybe screwing it up that way. That is just having zero appreciation for what somebody's real name is. You don't care enough about being a journalist, about getting your facts right, that you'll get the name right. The very first hurdle you have to jump over.
Yeah. Well, and it's not like it was some sort of sub-cabinet level position he was talking about.
Right.
You know, some character who we hardly ever hear about. This is a big deal. I mean, Benjamin Netanyahu has been around for a long, long time.
Yep.
And he's been talked about quite a bit. Now, maybe Dan Bondi doesn't own a radio or a television. But at least, you know, with the internet, you can hear people talking about Prime Minister Benjamin.
Did you?
Yeah,
well, maybe that's it. Maybe, you know what? He's infecting us.
He's really making us
dumber.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yeah, it is going to be very hard. Every time I see Netanyahu on TV now, I'm going to lose my mind. Every time I hear anybody say his name, I'm going to start laughing.
But,
like, if I ever met him,
yeah.
I wouldn't. That would be horrible. What a horrible meeting that would be. Because he, you know, he just speaks. I would just, you know, Chez, this is Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and I would start laughing.
Yeah, and then you would say back,
Benjamin Netanyahu is not a Jew.
All right, so enough of that. Rush Limbaugh, you know, I gotta confess something here. Before this past weekend, and this is not, I'm not proud of this. Before this past weekend, I was unaware that there was a basketball franchise called the LA Clippers. That's how cued into the entire sporting world I am, right? I had no idea.
You had no idea that the LA Clippers existed?
I had no idea there was a basketball team called the LA Clippers.
Trust me. Honestly, there are a lot of people in LA who feel exactly the same way.
Yeah, sure. That's what I hear now.
I think Leno made the joke one time that if you go to a – well, no, actually, that's not fair. Take it back, because the Clippers are actually a better team – have been a better team recently than they have been historically. Mm-hmm. You know, they've at least shown up and they put in a good showing over, you know, like a couple seasons ago, certainly. But yeah, I mean, there was like one of the only humorous jokes I remember Leno telling when I lived out here about LA was he's like, yeah, he goes, you know, he says, if you go, was it Leno? I can't remember. But I think he says it was him or Arsenio or one or the other. It might have been Arsenio, honestly. That's scary that I'm getting those two confused. But basically, somebody said that, you know, if you go to a Clippers game, you can always get, you know, you can always get seats down by the court. And, you know, if you show up on time, they might let you play.
Well, that's good. You know what? If that was Leno, it was the best Leno joke ever. Yeah,
Lamar Odom used to play for the Clippers years ago, you know, before he married Sasquatch.
Yeah. So this guy, Donald Sterling, is the owner of the L.A. Clippers, which I had never heard of.
I think it was Arsenio, by the way.
Arsenio? Well, good. That makes more sense because it was a funny joke. And I'm not aware of any funny Leno jokes.
That's true.
But this guy, Don Sterling, has been in the news all week, distracting from Benghazi, that bastard.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we talking about, you know, Don Sterling when there's this Benghazi thing from, you know, 3 years ago or whatever it was? So, and he says he's clandestinely recorded by his girlfriend, and she's got him on audio saying all kinds. I almost said on tape, but we don't use tape anymore, do we, in this country?
Yeah.
She's got him saying lots of horribly racist things about about her Instagram, being photographed with black people on her Instagram. And one of the many people this week on the far right to discuss the Don Sterling case was Rush Limbaugh, who blamed it all on Obama.
Of course.
Don Sterling is in trouble for not giving enough money to Obama. So somehow... Barack Obama has all this free time to go after Don Sterling, all this time to seek retribution for not giving enough money to Obama. And the other thing that Rush Limbaugh talks about here on this tape is that Don Sterling is a liberal Democrat.
Yeah.
A Hollywood liberal Democrat. And he's not. He's a registered Republican. But they're still running with the Democrat thing. It's really, really funny. So here's Rush Limbaugh pooping. I mean, talking about Donald Sterling.
Look, this Donald Sterling business, I have to tell you something, folks.
Taking a big bub.
Look, this Donald Sterling business, I have to tell you something, folks. This is not news to anybody who has known of this guy. I mean,
Now we make a lot of fun of Dan Bondi. Rush Limbaugh is a professional broadcaster who's been doing this for like 30 years. He's like, this guy.
Well, he didn't used to sound quite so bad.
No, but
he really didn't.
He's getting, but he should sound better as he goes, shouldn't he? I mean, he's actually...
No, he's getting old.
He's getting old and constipated with his big 40-pound impacted colon.
Don Sterling is a liberal Democrat who didn't quite give enough money to the Obama campaign. Yeah, thank you very much. Sorry about that.
It's really kind of sad. I agree with you. I do remember a time when Rush Limbaugh could actually speak and was compelling and a good broadcaster. I always hated what he was saying, but he was kind of entertaining because he was more upbeat and snappy. And he used to make funny noises and play bits and comedy routines. But now he's just like, bah.
I'm telling Mr. Snerdley this morning, this guy's a big Democrat. The only reason he's in trouble right now is he did not give enough money to Obama.
He's just making it up now. I mean, that's what he's doing. He's just, that's all made up. He just yanked all of that out of his butt, right out of his big 40-pound impacted colon. I don't know if he has a 40-pound impacted colon. Elvis did. I don't know if Rush Limbaugh did. Hey, look, we got to take a quick break back after this.
He spent years pushing the corporate suits, their rules, and their laws to the edge. Wait till you hear what he's like when he makes his own rules. The Don Geronimo Show.
Discounted yearly subscription still available. Also available in quarterly or monthly packages. And I'll see you there. The Don Geronimo Show. Tomorrow and every Monday through Friday from 3 to 5 Eastern, noon to 2 Pacific. Live right here on the Rel Network.
Hey!
Hey.
What's the matter? You look anxious and depressed.
I am anxious and depressed. I've had a terrible week. Anything that could go wrong did go wrong.
I know just what you need. I was feeling the same way myself last week. I have just the thing. Peace, love, and happiness.
Wow. Pretty. A peace sign, a heart, and a smiley face soap.
They work wonders. Why, look at the week Barack Obama just had. I sent him some peace, love, and happiness on Friday, and I'm not saying it had anything to do with it, but look how great his weekend went.
Just looking at them makes me feel better. Thanks, Bubble Genius.
Did you know next week is National Anxiety and Depression Awareness Week? Make yourself happy with peace, love, and happiness.
BubbleGenius.com. Representation of communication with Barack Obama is not intended to be a factual statement.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go.
Pants.
Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Your promo code for Bubble Genius. This is great. If you listen to this show, and I know you are, you get 15% off when you go shop at BubbleGenius.com. If you type in the promo code, which is Bob and Chez, BobAndChez, and you do that at checkout, then you get a big discount. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Okay. So, by the way, when you're listening to the show, even if you're not on iTunes, go to iTunes and give us a review and a 5-star rating. Thank you. Thank you. This is, might as well just come right out and ask. Why not do that?
Sure.
Okay.
Be a suck up.
So, I don't know. Do you have any additional thoughts on Don Sterling? I mean, I don't know how much there is to really... Yeah,
I'm done. I'm burned out on it.
Yeah, me too. And I didn't even really talk about it this week. I didn't really think about it this week all that much. I probably should have.
No, I mean, I think I wrote about it like once.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I mean, if Don Sterling, I'd be more concerned about Don Sterling if he was armed and forming a militia in the Nevada desert.
That story is unbelievable. What's going on there is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Between them stopping cars,
yeah,
and basically engaging in sort of a military crackdown on this neighborhood, to the insane infighting, there aren't words to describe how crazy it is.
Yeah. Now all the different crazy militia groups are starting to go after each other,
and it's just so fun to hear them talk in this like this military acronymic lingo, as if they're as if they're really soldiers on a battlefield.
Yeah,
a bunch of geriatric assholes who tragically have automatic weapons.
Yeah, there's this guy, this Bundy Ranch crank, who was at a rally. They actually have rallies where they have a podium set up with a microphone and flags and bunting all over the podium, and then the entire gaggle of like three dozen Bundy Ranch people, as if that's an army right there.
Yep.
It's like three dozen guys, middle-aged white guys, a lot of old guys, including this guy Mike Vanderboog. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Dan, how do you pronounce his name?
Nyattenhoek.
No, that's not how you do it. It's Mike Vanderboog. And you might remember Mike Vanderboog from a few years ago when he called for vandalism against Democratic offices. He said at the time, "We can break their windows. Break them now. And if we do a proper job, if we break the windows of hundreds, thousands of Democrat Party headquarters across this country, we might just wake up enough of them to make defending ourselves at the muzzle of a rifle unnecessary."
Jesus.
So, yeah, we break enough windows, we're not going to have to shoot people. But now he's actually calling for that. There was another.
I know one of them was from the Oath Keepers.
Yeah, yeah, the Oath
Keepers. And they bugged out. They bugged out. I'm using the terms. They bugged out because because one of them said, "We got actionable intel that Eric Holder may be ordering a drone strike on us."
Oh my God! Yeah, that's right.
Did you really? Did you really get intel there, Call of Duty?
That's, I saw, believe it or not, I saw a Dan Bondi clip in which he was talking about how Eric Holder ordered a drone strike and it was going to be happening.
There you go. Well, he must be the intel. Bondi must be the intel.
Dan Bondi is the deep throat of the Bundy Ranch militia. Right. So so that never actually happened. There was never a drone strike and there was never going to be, you idiots.
Of course, just the fantasy. The bizarre narcissism and self-importance and just the gung-ho BS fantasy these guys have.
Yeah, it's really kind of funny.
That they A, matter, and that B, if anything really did happen, if they really did do something that overstepped the lines horribly and people got hurt or killed, that they would stand 1 second of a chance of holding off anyone from the United States military or anyone essentially for any armed federal agents who showed up en masse.
But that's what they're trying to do now. They're instigating now.
Yeah, of course, because they want it to happen.
Yeah.
So they're looking for this, they're looking for the fight.
Yeah. So they've set up these checkpoints where they're armed militiamen stopping cars that are just passing through and checking their ID as if they have any authority whatsoever to do that. Remember, these are the law and order people. These are the far-right wackos who want, who actually for the previous decade wanted nothing more than the military to, to stop people at airports and so forth and the body scanners and all of that because of the terrorist threat, because of the terrorists.
Yeah.
And now they're totally anti-government, right? I mean, this guy Vanderboog says that he's the guy behind the Fast and Furious scandal.
Oh, okay.
He's literally the most important figure in popularizing the entire fake Fast and Furious scandal.
Lovely.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Like, I, you know, I'm never going to live in Bunkerville, freaking Arizona, but I can't help but wonder what, you know, what would my response be if I were stopped by some dumb redneck with a gun who said, you know, I need to see some ID from you before you go into the neighborhood in which you live.
Yeah.
I genuinely, I'd get myself shot. I really would.
Yeah, because
I really would. Because my attitude is, my anger would be so overwhelming that, you know, I don't know. I have no idea what I'd do. Maybe I'd, you know, crap my pants at the sight of these idiots, you know, armed to the teeth. But God, you know, I mean, there's that part of me that's just, that's like, you can't do this here. This is the United States. You are not in any sort of power whatsoever.
Yeah, never in a million years would I show any of these yahoos my ID.
Yeah, you get nothing. Get out of my way. Put your gun down and get out of my way.
Some gomer with an AR-15 tries to stop me on the road to ask for my ID. So who the hell are you?
Right, exactly. I'm sorry. Give me your ID, asshole.
Yeah, as I'm speeding away. That's how I'd be asking.
Right, but again, like I said, and you'd get shot because some trigger-happy idiot, you know, would, you know, suddenly think that he's at a checkpoint in Iraq and open fire.
Yeah. We got to take one last break. And when we come back, we're going to play this audio from Mike Vandenbogh talking about ripping off Harry Reid's balls. Quick break. Back after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Yep, we are back. You know, I've been neglecting to say during the body of the show that if you're interested in listening to The After Party, our subscriber-only podcast, but you don't want to subscribe, you don't want to deal with PayPal, you just don't want to be dealing with that sort of commitment to have a weekly or a monthly thing coming out of your PayPal and all of that crap. But what you can do is you can go to our Bandcamp page. It's linked every week when our after party goes up. There's a big link for it on the blog, and you go to the Bandcamp page and you can pay for the shows a la carte. You can buy individual shows for $2 a piece. You don't have to subscribe. You can use any major credit card or any major debit card. But yeah, you can pay $2 a pop and listen to individual after party podcasts without subscribing or dealing with PayPal or any of that. So that's fun. That's good. That's a benefit for you if you're interested at all in the after party. And it's a fun show. It's a fun show. We talk about not only politics, but we talk about our personal lives and pop culture and lots of movie stuff. And I think this week we're going to be discussing the new Star Wars casting. I think that's in the show this week. Plus, we're going to talk about Game of Thrones and what I found to be an even more controversial episode, although no one else thought it was, than the incestuous rape episode. But
why do I want to know?
We'll talk about it on the after party. I mean, okay. I don't know that it was necessarily controversial. I just found myself being more offended by it than I was the incestuous rape episode.
Oh yeah, no, I'm sorry. I especially after seeing it again, I'm sorry. The rape episode does not stick with me anywhere. I'm sorry, anywhere near. And, you know, fine, call me a bastard for it. Anywhere near as much as some of the other really horrific things that have happened on that show.
Yeah. And this week was no exception. I mean, this week was some really horrendous things. And we'll talk about that on the after party. Plus, oh, my God, one of my favorite shows from the early 2000s is coming back to HBO. We're going to get into that. Maybe talk about Letterman and Colbert and everything else we didn't get to on this show. That's usually what happens. The after party is usually everything we don't have time to do on the free show. So getting back to it, so we do try to get some of it in to the free show. We've got this clip of Mike Vandenbogh.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Right. Mike Vandenbogh.
Yeah, except that this idiot's name doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter. It's like he's
you know, not somebody you have to know.
Vanderbogh. I don't know. You take a guess. Who knows? But among other things, he said to Majority Leader Harry Reid, "Don't poke the Wolverine with a sharp stick, Harry, unless you want your balls ripped off." So they're good people. Good people, the Bundy Ranch people.
When you stood beneath the bridges, we, all of us across this country, in those long moments, were staring civil war in the face. All over this country, at this moment, we are still staring civil war in its bloody face.
Oh, my God. The delusions are
exactly.
just off the charts.
You're a nobody. You don't matter. You make no difference. You won't start anything. You won't start a damn thing.
I mean, this is all just...
There will be no civil war. I live in the city of Los Angeles, California. I don't care one bit what you dumb yokels do in Bunkerville, Arizona.
Yeah, yeah. There's never going to be a civil war. I mean, for God's sake. I mean, insofar as, you know, like the Waco compound, the government seizing the Waco compound was a civil war. I mean, there were shots fired. There was two sides.
Now, I'm not writing them off because they can do damage, as, you know, Oklahoma City proved.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, but it's not going to be a...
You know, but that, you know, that will bring... I mean, I would hope, I really hope that if something like that does happen, that just brings down the wrath of God on their heads.
Yeah, really. I mean, we're talking about, like we said before, like, I don't know, 36 hooples all gathered in the desert. Some of them are armed. Some of them have horses. The Confederate Army was a legitimate army. I mean, and there were several armies. There were. I mean, the Confederate Army was divided into several regional military forces. Okay? They couldn't even defeat the United States Army. They were outnumbered by, 100,000 men. And, you know, as Shelby Foote used to say, the North fought that war with one arm tied behind its back. But this is all to say that the 36 yokels in Bunkerville are no match whatsoever. Not even to come close to being a Civil War type of scenario. These are delusional, angry old men who are just lashing out at the black socialist president from Kenya without his birth certificate.
Right, exactly. And they have zero idea that outside of this little world that they've concocted, you know, this little thing that they live in 24/7, this fantasy fever dream, that nobody gives a crap about anything they have to say.
Right.
Nobody. And again, I can't stress enough. You know, I used to be one of those people, and it really – like I wrote what I hope was pretty eloquently about it during the lead up of the 2008 election. I said one of the things that bothered me most was that that Sarah Palin and John McCain less so, but led by, you know, egged on by Sarah Palin, started drawing battle lines between real America and, you know, those urbanites.
Mm-hmm.
And that bothered me because I've driven across this country I don't know how many times, and it's an amazing place. No matter where you go, whether you're in a big city, you're in the middle of nowhere, you're in a tiny town, you meet amazing people. You genuinely do. Maybe not all of them think exactly the way you do, but who gives a crap? You don't think exactly the way they do. It's fine. You know, I think I've always said this. You get people one-on-one, and 9 times out of 10, you'll find something. Unless you're these people who are just, again, total fever dreamers.
Yeah.
You know, you'll find something you've got in common.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, they did this thing in 2008 where they really tried to drive a stake between certain segments of the country. And that bugged the crap out of me. But now I'm kind of like, yeah, you know what? I see this sort of thing. And I'm like, look, you know what? I know that there are a lot of people out there who think the way I do and who think that people the way people who live in cities do. But I can say for a fact that if you live in New York City, you are mocking these people. Or more importantly, you're not giving a shit about them endlessly. Not a day goes by in your life that you don't not give a shit about them.
Well, see, here, the difference that I'm seeing, and I'm glad you brought up John McCain and Sarah Palin, because I think patient zero in all of this is actually Sarah Palin. And what Sarah Palin did in 2008 is she made herself sort of a bridge between the fringe crazies and the establishment Republican Party.
That's true. Yeah, that's a great point.
Because you remember all of the Sarah Palin rallies, the lines outside, and all the videotapes that were made, all the videos that were posted around those rallies, and people who were interviewed with these, I'm just crazy, crazy people showing up to Sarah Palin rallies. And that grew into the Tea Party. And then the establishment Republican Party legitimized the Tea Party. And now is embracing it. And there's a Tea Party caucus in the Republican Party in Congress. And so that,
I mean, I think that if I could make one political change, like if somebody said, here's your political time machine, you know, go to any point in your lifetime and make a change. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure that there are other things that are, you know, having something to do with Bush getting elected that would save lives or whatever. But for some reason, for the good of the country, I think I would go and smack John McCain across the face.
Yeah.
And say you're not going to foist this person on us.
Absolutely.
You have no idea what you've opened here.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was John McCain, I believe, who legitimized the crazy fringe. What the difference between the Obama years and the Clinton years? And during the Clinton years, there were a lot of crazy people. There were militias. There were all kinds of wacko conspiracy theorists, you know, regarding not only his sexual affairs, but also, you know, Whitewater and Travelgate and all that crap. And it was, you know, it was kind of weird. And I got a front row seat to it working at WJFK in Washington, which also hosted the G. Gordon Liddy show. So I used to hear it from G. Gordon Liddy all the time. And but it was never legitimized by the establishment Republican Party. You never heard like Newt Gingrich running around talking about Clinton conspiracies. I mean, there was obviously something to do with the investigation of his sexual affairs, you know, the Ken Starr stuff. But that was all out in the open. You never saw anyone embracing people like Cliven and Bundy. But you see it now. And that's very, very bad. That's dangerous for the United States.
It is. It is absolutely dangerous. I mean, these people believe things that are inherently and vehemently and stridently anti-United States.
Yeah.
Anti-patriot.
And people ask me why I still write about Sarah Palin, why I still bother with Sarah Palin. I wrote like four things about Sarah Palin this week. It's because of that. It's because I really consider Sarah Palin, like I said before, patient zero in the rise and legitimization of the fringe crazies. And so when she gets when she stands up in front of a huge crowd, I mean the crowd at the NRA convention this year was frightening. And when I first saw that Sarah Palin was speaking and I saw some of the remarks, I didn't really get a look at, in the initial video that was released by CBS, I didn't really get a look at the audience. And then there was another video that came up, I think it was on YouTube, where they showed a reverse shot. And it was like, I don't know where the hell they were, but it was a massive stadium filled with white gun people.
Yeah.
Just cheering and going nuts for the crazy word salad this woman was delivering.
Just think if you'd nuke that site from orbit.
Well, and of course, the craziest thing was talking about how we should baptize terrorists with waterboarding.
Yep.
Which even a lot of conservatives distanced themselves from. I mean, there were I think there were seven different Christian conservative groups who condemned the remark. I mean, it's a holy sacrament of this religion that this woman claims to hold so dear, as she's bastardizing it by turning it into torture.
Yep.
You say nothing of the fact that baptism is the equivalent of waterboarding and torture. it's supposed to be a thing. That's what you do when you save people. When you're saving them, you shouldn't be torturing them at the same time. Plus, the whole thing with torture anyway, and waterboarding, which, you know, she said if she were president of the United States.
Which, of everything she says, the most terrifying thing.
Yeah, yeah. And looking back, you know how close we came to that?
Yeah.
You know, you want to talk about a silver lining to the economic downturn right there in whatever it was, October 2008?
Yep.
When the big crash occurred, the silver lining, there became less of a chance that Sarah Palin would ever be a heartbeat away from the presidency.
I mean, imagine that. Sarah Palin is vice president of the United States. That idiot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The one who said if she was in charge, she would baptize terrorists with waterboarding. And that, you know what, in the whole pantheon of crazy things she says, that might not be the craziest. But it's up there. She said lots of other crazy, nonsensical things.
But that, again, is one of the worst things she's ever said.
Yeah, it's up there. I would say it's in what, the top three?
Probably.
I mean, I would say that the craziest thing she's ever said were back on the campaign trail when she was actually running, when she used to say every day that Barack Obama palled around with domestic terrorists.
Yeah.
Which is basically to say Barack Obama is a terrorist, which is kind of race baiting. Well, it absolutely was race baiting. To say that a candidate for the presidency.
Yeah, that works. That's I could hear that.
Yeah. I mean, and that was coupled with the ongoing Osama Obama gaffe.
Oh, my God.
In some cases, accidental. In a lot of cases, deliberate.
Right. I remember, if you ask me what the single worst thing Fox News has ever done, which is very odd because I know that when it comes to damage, it's not the worst, but the most, like, what the fuck moment, the kind that to me is just, that just spells out perfectly everything that they're all about. It's such the flawless little snapshot of Fox News was the fist pound, a terrorist fist jab, that comment.
Yeah, the terrorist
that
fist
tease,
bump,
the terrorist
yeah.
fist jab tease. That to me was like, that was the most, wait a minute, are you really saying that, are you asking the question whether what Obama and Michelle Obama are doing is tied to terrorism?
They were fist bumping, and they looped that in with terrorism.
A terrorist fist jab? How Edie Hill's career ever survived after that, even for 2 days, is beyond me.
Yeah. I mean, up until that point, there was a lot of talk during the Bush years that, you know, you're going to let the terrorists win if you do this. It was never, you are a terrorist. It was never, oh, John Kerry, you're a terrorist. Or Hillary Clinton, you're a terrorist. But with Barack Obama, it was absolutely, you're a terrorist. And that kind of rhetoric from Sarah Palin as the vice presidential candidate of her party, one of the two major parties in the United States, opened up that entire can of crazy worms.
Yeah.
And let all of that out. All of that crazy suddenly became married to the establishment Republican Party. And now the front runner for the Republican nomination, or at least one of the two front runners for the Republican nomination, is himself a member of the Tea Party caucus, Rand Paul. That shows you how far we've come in just 5 years. It's only been 5 years. So going back to Sarah Palin, see if you can decipher this for me, Chaz. She took to Facebook to respond to the outrage regarding her waterboarding remarks. And I'm not going to get into the specifics of what she wrote, except for this one sentence. And maybe you can tell me what the hell this even means. She wrote, "If some overly sensitive wusses took offense, remember the First Amendment doesn't give you a right not to be offended."
Okay.
I swear to God, I've been staring at this for, I guess, I think it's been like 3 days now. I don't know what the hell she means, and she has yet to edit. There is an edit button in Facebook now that you can use to change mistakes that you make and fix typos and so on.
Right.
She hasn't changed this at all. "If some overly sensitive wusses took offense, remember, the First Amendment doesn't give you a right not to be offended."
Whatever.
I don't know what the hell
crazy.
That means.
Just crazy. Crazy, crazy.
Crazy, crazy. Crazy word salad is what that is.
Yep.
God. So Sarah Palin continues to be a thing, and, you know, she's talking to this crowd of NRA people who are now guiding the entire congressional agenda when it comes to guns, contrary to, like, supermajority popular opinion. Don't tell me Sarah Palin is not influential anymore. But there's some rumors going around about her running for president. But that always happens. I think she's doing just a Donald Trump thing. I think she's teasing it for headlines. All right, we got a big after party, mainly because we only got to about half of the things I have on my bucket of show list here. We're going to talk about Shepard Smith versus Gawker. We're going to talk about, oh my God, that story about the shooting rampage in Georgia at that FedEx facility.
Yep.
Is just, it's insane.
It is.
I had no idea that there was a law there that made gun ownership mandatory. We're going to get into that on the after party. Plus, as we said before, we're going to talk about some Star Wars and the controversy. There was controversy and outrage regarding the Star Wars casting announcement.
Of course there was.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Salon has a huge story up about it today. Well, I can't remember. I'll have to look up one of the lines from it that just made me laugh my ass off.
Plus, Colbert and Letterman. I mean, we haven't talked about the Colbert-Letterman thing in a while, or at all. I'm surprised. And a whole lot more that's coming up on the after party. If you haven't subscribed yet, you can subscribe for $6 a month. It's a bargain at twice the price. We pass the savings along to you. You get four or five big shows every month. Lots of additional podcasty entertainment. And if you don't want to subscribe, as I said before, you can go to our Bandcamp page. It's a really great service. You can download individual episodes for $2 a piece. There's no commitment whatsoever. It's like $2. It's like next to nothing. Thank you in advance. Hey, take care. We'll see you next week, folks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.